Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece.
It's the rap. Hip hop. The rap.
They can't stop us. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D. and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10, bringing voices to power. Bringing voices to power.
All right, in this episode of the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, I'll be talking with Madison County District 6 candidate Violet Edwards. Violet Edwards moved to Huntsville in 2002, nurturing a successful journalism career. She found that she did not want to tell the story as much as she wanted to get in the conversation and bring about change. Since then, she has established a proven track record of advocacy, service, and leadership that has a direct impact on Huntsville and the residents of Madison County's District 6. Let me start off by saying, before we welcome the guests on here, any comments or views on this show that I make are not necessarily the views of Violet Edwards, and any comments she makes may not necessarily be the views that I feel. With that being said, when I come on the show, I like to talk about a lot of stuff that's in the grassroots before we get to her. heard, we're going to talk about. Yes, someone asked me about, did I see the new infomercial for the councilman District 1? I said, yeah, I've seen the whole Mr. Rogers neighborhood video type thing. But we got to look at what exactly has transpired. I mean, people want to act like it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood and they're the perfect neighbor, but what you got to do is look beneath the surface. They very well could be the neighbor from hell. So let's go back to this, too. Also, I did not know until recently, because I tried to stay a little further back from Huntsville politics, because one of the problems I've seen, I went to college there, lived there, got kids there, grandkids there, part of the school system, all of that. But sometimes the people in Huntsville have a problem with somebody not being from there. And I think that's absolutely crazy. Because if you're going to say that, then where have you been while all of this has been going on and happening? You've been here all this time. You haven't fixed it. You ought to welcome some outside help. But I had a run-in once with one of the people that's in the race. Like I said, I didn't see who exactly all was in it. I heard this person, Mr. McCants. And I just want to tell my listeners out there who have listened to me for years, they know how I feel about Vernon McCants. I don't think he deserves a vote. People should not waste their vote, because I do a lot in the community with our youth, and Vernon McCants is the exact wrong opposite of what our youth need to see in the community. Do not waste your vote. And that's just how I feel. You vote how you want to vote, but what I've said has been true, and I got receipts to back it up. He is not the role model that I would like to see, the people that I know in the grassroots would like to see out there leading our people. Now, with that being said, I won't even mention his name again, but I'm very disappointed that he's even in the race. With that, I'd like to welcome Ms. Violet Edwards. Good morning.
Well, aren't you a firecracker this morning? Good morning.
No, I just tell it like it is. You know, when the grassroots speak, they speak, right? I ain't going to say his name, but he was banished from the grassroots a few years ago. Now, here he is reinvented. I don't like that. But tell us a little bit about. The first thing I want to ask you is the same thing I asked a dear friend, rest in heaven, Deborah Burrows. I had asked her about some of these services that were lost. Do you know anything about getting those services back? And the ones that, you know, Mr. Harrison had, and then they slipped off to where District 6 is not leading that?
Well, in my mind, it's not necessarily about the services that were lost, because as you know, with each person that comes in, everybody brings in their own vision. And so, for example, the agriculture, the planting, that was Mr. Harrison's vision, and that has slacked off some. I think it's a wonderful program, and I've talked to people in the community who absolutely miss that food while it's still being grown. The attention is not being paid to it as it was in the past, and a lot of the churches were depending on their fresh food for distribution. And so I've spoken with many people, and you know, it's out there now, and you're welcome to go, but you got to beat through some weeds. And, you know, we had a lot of older people who wanted to go out there, and they just don't feel like that don't feel like it's safe. Now, with that said, that's one program that I would love to get back up, get back going, thriving. I think the people of the community benefited from it. And I also think that marketing and letting more people know about it, because there were a lot of people, you know, District 6 is huge. It's 58,000 people. And just everybody didn't know about it. So growing programs like that. But I have to be careful, because everybody has their own vision. And as I come in, my vision focuses more around economic development, reducing recidivism, getting our students in jobs, and getting work development programs up and going. And I just think that our district is hungry for that. They're hungry for that type of leadership, for somebody to come in and say, hey, what would you like, for example, that the agriculture program, and getting that back up and going, and saying, hey, well, here's my vision. Work with me also. What do you think about this? And let's move forward with that.
Yes, that is so true, and I can vouch for that. It was a few years ago, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. But I took some elderly people from here in my hometown up there, you know, to pick out of that. And like you said, it was not well taken care of. It was so many weeds out there. I've seen that with my own two eyes. But like you said, something like that really, really helps the community. It really does. And
there were so many people that looked forward to it.
Right. And when we talk about economic development, what could be done in District 6 that could generate jobs for the local people that have been living there? I know District 6 and Huntsville, Madison County has the ability to create these high-tech jobs, but a lot of the people don't have high-tech training. What is your ideas of bringing in jobs that local people can do other than some Jack's or the Walmart out there that people bragged on, everybody wanted to take claim for, Toyota, everybody claimed it, then they only hired 30-something people out there at the beginning. What is your vision of getting people in District 6 employed? What type of jobs or things out there or training you can get them to be prepared for these high-tech jobs?
And that's just it. You hit the nail on the head. Visions. Now, District 6 does not have a lack of visionaries. There are entrepreneurs here. I went to a local North Alabama African-American Chamber of Commerce just listening to those stories, and we have a local business organization. The visionaries are here, the people who want to own the black bookstores and the fashion boutiques and the different kind of businesses. They're here. There's just a disconnect between the resources that the whole county has and the resources in District 6. So as far as those visionaries,
that sounds like a business incubator.
You know, exactly. We need those mentorships. We need strategic plan support, strategic support and business coaching. We need marketing workshops. We need workspace incubators. We need low-interest loans. And we have that around the county, but it's lacking in District 6. So we need to figure out how to create that welcoming environment and a message that resonates with everyone so that everybody can come to the table and feel like they're needed. So I think that the vision is there. We don't necessarily even have to bring anybody into District 6. We have how many universities? 2 universities, 3 or 4 high schools. We have the workforce in District 6 to cultivate our own. We have the human capital. We just got to get them up and moving. So business incubation and resources for those startups, whether it's website training, whether it's mentoring, whether it's coaching, let's get them up and going. And once they have that vision, we need locations in District 6 for them to get started, which is where the incubation that you spoke of happened. You know, around town, mm-hmm. we have BizTech, UAH has the I2C Center. There are different places where minds can come together and share ideas and have a shared workspace. I would love to see that in District 6, and there is grant money out there for it. So let's bring that there. Not everybody wants to own their own business, and you just touched on that.
Right.
So with that, we need that job training. And there are churches and there are organizations that are I know of 2 businesses that's going into the high schools, and they're going in and they're working with the teachers with their curriculum, and they're training these young people because there's no shortage of jobs. We just got to get these young people to want it,
right,
and to get them trained, and that they're not scared to approach it, to know that there's a vision, that they are wanted, that they are welcome, and that job is not for that job is for them. It's not necessarily for somebody else. Mm-hmm. That job has their name on it, so we have to work on that as well.
That is true. And I'm just going to tell my listeners, no, you're fine. This is a show.
Okay.
I'll probably cut you off. Some people said that I'm worse than Chris Matthews or Joe Scarborough, but this is a debate. We're talking. And I'm here for one purpose, is get the answers people have asked me for the grassroots. That's why I'm the grassroots mouthpiece. But I want to put this in there. I really appreciate the part of your experience working in journalism, because I can tell my listeners, and they know, when a person has training in journalism, that means they are not afraid to release information. Like you said, there's grants and all the other kind of stuff out here, but we need leaders who will constantly throw these grants out there in our face to make sure we get all the pertinent, accurate, on-time information about anything, whatever it is. So many times we elect people, and the first thing they do is clam up with information. They're not going to tell the public, hey, this is over there, that's over here, or you could be doing this. We need someone in office in District 6 who are going to be open to communicate with the people. That's why I think journalism is having a background in that is a good thing for the people, because they would, you wouldn't have information. It's just not in you to keep, you know, those type of secrets. Now
I'm a wide open book, even with running this campaign.
Right.
When I say I'm working to get information out there through Facebook,
uh-huh.
you know, I have a website. I am all over social media. I am doing interviews like this.
Your,
I mean,
we need that. Give us. Let's start right now and give us the information about your website, how people can contribute, and where you're going to be next. We're going to do that again at the end of the show, but right now let's stop
okay.
and tell people about how they can go and follow you and find you and see where you're at next.
That works. So I am online. My webpage is voteviolet.com, easy enough. On Facebook, you can go to @VoteViolet D6. And I'm on Instagram @TheVioletEdwards. And every weekend, I am out knocking on doors. Every Friday in the month of January, I'm at Sunnyside Diner on Jordan Lane here in Madison County from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. So you can come in before you go to work and let's just sit and chat and have a cup of coffee. And again, I'm out every weekend knocking on doors and going to organizations, just introducing myself. This past weekend, I was at a community event on Sunday afternoon, just getting to know the neighbors up in up by
right.
A&M, just hearing their concerns. So I'm out there, and I just feel like working this hard to listen to people and letting people know I'm out there, that's just the spirit that I'm going to take into office with me, that I am available on all of my social medias.
Okay.
There is an email address, violet@voteviolet.com, that I answer daily, and that is my telephone number on that website. So definitely working hard to for people to hear my message and to hear their concerns. And I just think that is so important. And so going into office, I will run the office like any successful CEO. You know, we will have set business hours daily. I will report in daily to see day-to-day operations, oversee those operations, return calls, answer emails, attend meetings, accept invitations from the stakeholders, as a commission. Yeah.
Will you remain in District 6?
Yes.
I mean, because sometimes people that live, they live over here, they live over there, and live wherever.
No.
You're going to maintain an attachment with the people of District 6. Okay, great.
Absolutely. And that is what I look forward to.
Weird.
I mean, just being a community protagonist for the people of District 6, even in my work in nonprofit, Christmas Charities Year Round, right here in District 6. And right now I am the president of the North Alabama Coalition for the Homeless. And we have a large population, homeless population in Huntsville, and a lot of that is right
so
in District 6.
Right. See, that's another thing that I like about that.
Anywhere.
I go and do what I can to the ones, you know, with help the people that's having a harder time over there on homes. We do for my soup kitchen down here in Moulton. A lot of times we take supplies and things over there, and I've also took supplies over there, too, for a friend of mine, Parker Griffin. He sent supplies over there, you know, through me and stuff. So, yeah, I know about that, the homeless population, and a lot of people don't realize it's a lot bigger than you think. Because we had people here that were sleeping in cars at service stations, Walmart, you know. It, luckily, the police and communities, nobody's hassling them. That, you know, at a certain time, people are homeless together in one spot. But we need more programs and more outreach, especially since, like, with national politics, they're going to be cutting food stamps, and there's already food insecurities in the majority of homes across North Alabama.
That makes me sick.
So we're going to need more organizations. Yes, we're going to need more organizations that's doing what you're doing to reach these people because, you know, it's like they're forgotten. It's like they're forgotten by family members, friends, and, you know, people. They need direct, constant contact, just like the people of District 6. You got to have a commissioner who's available
and there's a misconception.
And who you see all the time.
Right. And when you think of homelessness, I mean, we know that some of it happens. Absolutely. Oh, now that is big. That is big. But back to homelessness.
Go to the games, all of that.
Yes. you made me lose my train of thought.
Well, hey, let me put you on something there. Then while you get that thought together, let me say this right here. I would never trust somebody appointed by KI. Come on now.
Lord,
what does KI know about the people of District 6? They don't know people. I'm just being serious, and we just honestly look at, we're the only people who would, how can somebody force that leadership down us? We should have had a chance to decide who we wanted to succeed, Bob, not have somebody get appointed. Because when you have people getting appointed, like Henry was appointed, and he's got time to go in there, and yes, you know, he can build relationships with certain people. But the bad thing about that is, because some of our African-American organizations, I've said this before, I've been saying it for over 10 years, so it shouldn't be a shock to the people that know me. A lot of times our black organizations get compromised. They want to be, they might be such and such organization, but they want to get it close to this elected official. So they'll flip-flop any kind of way rather than seeing the people get what they want. All these organizations standing beside Henry, ask yourself, where were they after Bob passed? They should have been one standing up and said, give us another election. Let's see who we got out here. No, they was closed mouth. And then as soon as one person got appointed, they all started cuddling up and huddling up around him. I think that's just sickening, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves, them 100 fools and all of that over there. But let's get back to what can you see and envision in District 6 for Alabama A&M, for the colleges within your district? I know you talked about working together with them like other colleges do. What do you see how the colleges could come together to help the communities? I know they can help people already skilled and fresh out of college. How can you pull the colleges in to invest in the local communities?
Well, they are already, and speaking with some of the administration, both Oakwood and University and Alabama A&M are already, they have great strategies and great plans in the near future. Recently, A&M announced that
they have a big welcoming center.
They have a big welcome center, and they're opening a hotel just right there off campus, which is going to be wonderful for jobs and for homecoming and all that good stuff. And I live right beside Oakwood, and every day I am watching this building come up that is going to be a wonderful farmer's market, which is also something that the community really needs. So I think that the universities, they haven't forgotten about the community. Let me put it like that.
I attended Alabama A&M, and I worked there for 11, 12 years, something like that. I retired from there. But we were doing some outreach back then. It's actually I got my political bootstraps tied on at Alabama A&M. You know, I was president of the Sociology and Criminal Justice Club, and I was a part of the newspaper staff, and that's how I first got into this political stuff, you know.
Right, and that's social work. You know, they have students out in the community doing their community service, and in the schools getting their training. So I feel confident that they're not forgetting about the community, and they're actually trying to put their students in the community to get that training and to care. And I think that as a commission and as a city leader, we have to work at keeping these young professionals here in town. And I think giving them a seat at the table, being inclusive and diverse and inclusive and showing diversity when it comes to different boards, that is giving the young people, letting them plant their roots. You know, they don't get their degree and they don't leave. We help mold them. We help shape them. Now let's listen to them and make them a stakeholder and keep them here in the community and let them do great things.
Right. I'm glad the election is finally here, because that whole appointment thing, you just don't know how that upset a lot of people.
I do know.
Appointed by Kay Ivey, she's basically a Confederate sympathizer, and then you're okay with her appointment, like she's going to appoint somebody that's going to really be in your best interest. But
it was up to the people of the community. So when I heard that
election
was not going to be held, I have to admit that I was one of the ones that sent in my resume just out of concern of leadership for this district and concern about some of the people who I heard had also sent in their resume. So I was one, and I want to say the Democrats sent in, it was double digits of people who applied for that job, and needless to say, I did not get did it. And needless to say that, I didn't choose Kay Ivey, so I'm not mad that she did not choose me. I often say I think we're even,
right.
But she wasn't my first choice either. But I say that I went into this with an open mind. Okay, so she chose someone, and she chose somebody from the Democratic Party, and I was just like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. Let's give this a chance. And I feel like I went into it with an open mind, giving it a chance. But here we are, a year and a half later, or it was
right.
a year later when I decided to run, and I was just like, I still had those concerns. And that's why I decided
mm-hmm.
to jump in this race, because I was like, now is the time. We can't see this growth taking place in districts 1 through 5, and district 6 is just sitting here looking like, what is going on? The disparities just continue to grow. We have to have somebody in these leadership positions that's going to be out advocating and out speaking for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just concerned about whether or not that was going on. And so that's why
especially
I decided
at
to
a time. Yeah, especially at a time when we have all these incidences, justified or unjustified, but there's a lot of incidences with African Americans and police. And so if you got a commissioner in there who's on both sides, you know, where does his allegiance lie? Does his allegiance lie with the Blue Shield, or does it lie with the community who are saying they are being targeted or suffering under over-aggressive policemanship? I don't think he could be a strong voice for that, you know, just by basically, I don't think the community was his first love. He could very well be deeply in love with the community right now, but his first love is with that blue. And so we need to really think about that. And him being an officer, when these incidences happen, he should be able to come out and tell the community something. I haven't heard him address the police stuff that's been going on in the county or in the state or whatever. And would he be a credible person to really take that on in the right type of way? Now, if he were to do something like that, now, that would be courageous, but I just don't think it has it in him.
Well, I'm going to have to let you ask him that, because I absolutely have no idea.
Hey,
but how
about we do this? How about neither one of us ask him? How about both of us look at the record? I haven't heard nothing.
True,
have you heard?
True.
There
true.
It is.
I have not.
He has
but
answered.
Then we also
his
have
silence
to
has provided the answer.
And
he's welcome to come on the show.
But
he's welcome to come on the show, just like I invited Vernon McCants. Once
uh-huh.
I told this guy I was going to take him to Grassroots Shop, you better get ready. And so he backed out at the last minute, because that's what Vernon does. I mean, this was all on Facebook. That's why I can talk about it. I had
okay,
one. I was a finalist.
Yeah.
I was a finalist uh-huh. for that's why I just deeply distrust him. We was friends. He was running against Bob. I was advising him on the low. He was calling
okay.
me, getting certain stuff. And so he didn't win, so he was real quiet and stuff. I didn't hear nothing else out of him. And then about 6 months later, I won this award. I didn't win the award, but I was a finalist for Citizen of the Year in my county. And I
mm-hmm.
posted up on Facebook that night, and then he comes on Facebook trying to attack me, a little drive-by hater, and that's what he is, a drive-by hater. And I seen all he did with Vernon would start physical stuff with people. Then when it comes crunch time, here he is posting up on Facebook, shaking the person's hand, talking about real men work things out. No, real men don't start shit. That's where I'm from.
Okay.
And so that's
all
why
right.
I deeply distrust Vernon McCants. He is not a good example for our youth. Right? Everybody seen that incident on Facebook. Everybody was like, why you hate on this man? I mean, just come out of nowhere. But that fits into his M.O., like going to these places, getting drunk, starting something, leaving, and talking a bunch of crap, and 24
well,
hours
I
later,
can't talk.
Going apologizing to
can't.
The person and then talking about how you was a man for squashing it. No, real men don't even start it. But
right,
what
right.
are some
well,
of the things
I can't just say
that you
myself, I can say that as for myself, you know, I am a small business owner. I run a small business. I run a home. I run nonprofits. I've chartered nonprofits. Wonderful network throughout the entire state of Alabama that has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for programs in our community. So I can't speak on anybody else's faults. I can say that I am a wonderful candidate and that I'm qualified for this job and that I would be honored to be the next commissioner of District 6.
What is your vision for the young people in Huntsville? Because, you know, we're seeing a lot of violence everywhere, really, but when in Huntsville you got a condensed place, there's going to be a lot more of it.
Right.
What's your thoughts and what do you think about the community involvement? Because you can't just leave it up to Henry as a police. We can't leave it up to you as a commissioner. What can the community do to help our leaders and police to stop this flow of violence? And I see a lot of idleness.
Know,
I think the violence comes from the idleness. When I go through Huntsville, I see a whole lot of people just doing nothing, just walking around.
Exactly. And we put our money.
People going?
We put our money where our concerns are. And so that is also a concern of mine, and that's another place where just heavy grant writing and looking at that budget and figuring out how to get these young people off the streets. And that includes a list of programs, putting more money into the arts. That means putting more money into after-school programs. That means you talked about supporting the small businesses. It's these small businesses that do the sponsorships of the clubs and sponsorships of the small football teams and just knowing that just having well-rounded kids and well-rounded community, giving them things to do. And I have to say that reaching out to parents, now I know that this sounds crazy and we'd have to come out with innovative ways to get people to buy in, but a lot of a lot of people just don't know how to be parents. And so getting in seminars and sessions and mentoring just for the parents, helping stabilize the home. And when we get these young people in the programs, making sure that they have, you know, cheerleaders up in the stands and all the supports that they need. And that's how we just curb a lot of the foolishness that we see out of young people. It's just a love on them. Let them know that we're here, that we care. And when it comes to these community programs, to put our money where our heart is, and that's with these young people. We have to find something for them to do.
Right.
Because if we don't,
right,
we know that there is a place for them with three meals and a cot. So we got to catch that before it happens.
Or a space that's 6 feet deep.
6 feet deep, and yes, absolutely. So we have to do a better job at figuring out ways to keep our young people off the street. But it all starts with getting out and finding the money for programs that we feel are important, whether it's in the arts, whether it's sporting programs, just things that target our youth, and then going back and getting these parents involved, getting the community support that our youth need.
Now, that's one of the things, when you're talking about something for the youth, I can say this, what I've seen also, witnessed with my own eyes, there is so much talent in Huntsville. People might say rap and just go, I don't want to hear that. But these kids are writers, musicians. They are all of that. They need an outlet like that as well. So that's why I'm glad to hear people talk about a performing arts district, because that thing would fill up so quick.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have wonderful arts programs throughout the city, and we have a magnet art school right there in the district. And my son actually goes to the magnet art school. And when I say impressive, oh, my goodness, the performance, the clown performance and the plays and the music and the dance. We have a drum corps of young, a whole drum corps that my middle son participates in on Jordan Lane. Fantastic youth. So while I love sports, my daughter was in the sports. She played basketball. My kids are in soccer. soccer. They do basketball. They do karate. But they're also into the arts. They also, you know, we do plays and we do choir and we do choral. And we don't have to pigeonhole our students into one thing. What the black kid does, we can let them just express themselves through whatever means. But we have to put money into it, and we have to give them that outlet to keep them busy.
You are so correct, and just so much talent to touch on. You got the Civic Center right there, a Performing Arts District, man. That would be great. That would be great. You know, because you have heard the term starving artist. You know, need to be built in a way where somebody who's focused on that can focus on their craft as well as pay the bills.
Absolutely. Well, and you see it all everywhere. I love when I see young violinists, because that was something they didn't offer strings in a high school when I was there. I was so now when I see these young violinists, I just sit in awe. The young saxophonist that does the street music, the art, these kids that are drawing and going and listening to spoken word events. I am absolutely blown away just at the opportunities. And we just, like I say, we just have to continue to feed into them, continue to encourage them,
yeah.
Just nurture that and see where it goes.
Yeah, and especially the ones, the young ones who do the rap, like I said, they're poets. They just putting their poetry into music, into a rap.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see some type of thing where we can have these young people, you know, maybe a contest or some of the training of a program where these young people can express their own feelings, you know, about society and everything else. Just to, you know,
and
so they can vent and get that out.
Right,
and you can use that
as a base
because a lot of these poets, they see deeper than what we see, so they really see what's going on, and that would help people on the outside see what's in the minds of some of these younger people, and then we can formulate plans to go out and address them.
But most importantly, it would just help change the narrative of District 6, because so much when you hear people talk about North Huntsville, we hear about the disenfranchised, we hear about the poor, we hear about those who are disenfranchised. It's just really often a bleak story of the people who live in our district, and we know that yes, while we have some who live in poverty in our district, we also have a working middle class, and our working middle class cares about things like the arts. Everybody cares about, you know, our streets. Everybody cares about our schools. Everybody cares about our services, whether it's social services or our city services. And we have to figure out ways to showcase ourselves just as positive as other districts throughout the county. We are people who matter. We are people who care. And we have set a pretty high bar. We just have to project how high our bar is and stop letting people think that we're just the land of the poor or we're just the land of the people who don't care, because that's how we end up getting thrown table scraps or decisions are made.
Right.
We get something so we can sit there quietly. We're past that.
Yeah.
We need leadership that's going to make sure that that's not our narrative.
Okay. We're getting down to like 6 minutes. I got to get this one last question in from the grassroots.
I'm ready.
I'm going to ask basically all of them. But what I want to ask you is, how are you going to fight for the equal dollars coming into the district? Because people have seen a whole lot of growth in all parts of Huntsville. It seems like North Huntsville is the last place. You know, they want to just really invest the millions of dollars in. How will you be able to fight for equal share in dollars will you be a strong voice for District 6 getting equal and just as much money and attention as other places?
Absolutely. And to me, it goes back to changing that narrative. People want to put money into places that they feel like is going to be successful, that they feel like is winning. So we have to stop saying, oh, poor district. We have to get past that. And then it won't be a fight. Money will come to you. And far as them looking our way, we have to be at the table. We have to be at these meetings. We can't be an afterthought. So I hear the word fight, but how about we have a presence and we ask?
Right.
And then when we don't ask.
You can't fight him if you're not.
Don't ask.
You can't fight if you're not on the battlefield.
Absolutely. If you're not there, then you're an afterthought. So that's step one. Let's get there. Let's present ourselves, the best of ourselves, the working parts of ourselves. Let's just show them who we really are and change this just bleak outlook that you often hear about our district and say and give them reasons on why they should invest here. We have the human capital. We have visionaries. We have land. We have things in our district that other districts want or that people want to invest in. We have to figure out how to showcase that, and people will come to us. I mean, District 6, we're a jewel. We really are. We just need to figure out how to get out there and let people know of the great things that we have going on here and once they get here to support them.
Yes. So on your sites, what you're going to, all your contact and social media, what you're going to tell us again, someone can sign up to volunteer and learn how they could help you. Tell us,
absolutely.
Run down your sites again.
Again, if you go to my website, that's the most inclusive. It has everything on it, voteviolet.com. It has my email address. It has a place where you can register to vote. It has my phone number. It has my bio and Facebook. It just shows you all the events that I've been to, where I am, where I'm going. That is at voteviolet D6. And I'm also on Instagram, and Instagram is TheVioletEdwards. This Friday and every Friday in the month of February, you can find me at Sunnyside Diner here in District 6. It's on Jordan Lane for coffee, and they have been gracious enough. They have a whole side room, so I can have one person, I can have up to 50 people to sit down and chat and talk. Everybody can't make it in during that time, which is why my phone number and my email address is also available on that website. Because I take appointments and I make myself available. And I tell you what, in doing this just to get the position, I will not slow down once I'm in the position. There's a lot of work to be done, and we just need somebody who's going to be transparent, somebody who's not afraid to do it, somebody who can listen to the people and can take action. You know, action starts right now. When you go to the ballot and vote on March 3rd for a collaborative, capable, qualified candidate, that is on the ballot, and now we'll just leave it up to the people to check that box.
Well, I heard that, and I want to encourage everybody to get out to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'll tell you who I'll vote for, and that would be Vernon McKent. Well, nobody pretending like they're Mr. Rogers in the neighborhood, but he's really the neighbor from hell, only there to hold you back in the neighborhood. But with that being said, it's been having you as a great guest on this show, and I wish you the best of luck, all the candidates luck, except for that one who thinks he's going to sneak back in the grassroots. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. All right, then, with that, good luck, and you have a great day,
you.
Okay?
Bring
you too.
To power. Grassroots Mouthpiece.
It's the rap. Hip hop.
Hip hop.
The rap.
They can't stop us. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle Show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D. and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power.